Welcome to This Is Whole Life, a podcast from the Whole Life Church in Orlando, Florida.
Join me, Ken Wetmore, lead pastor, and Melanie Bachman, our worship pastor, along with our communication team, Randy and Lucas. Take a look back, a look deeper, and a peek into the week ahead.
Here we explore meaningful conversations about spirituality, community, and living with purpose.
We don't have all the answers, but we are walking the journey together.
Wherever you're listening from, you're wanted here.
This is Whole Life.
Hey everyone, it's episode 502 of This Is Whole Life, where we dig deeper into the messages here at Whole Life Church in Orlando, Florida. We do this every single Tuesday, so you can listen on Wednesday and join the conversation on Wednesdays. Well, you actually have to join before Tuesday. Otherwise, you know, I guess you could join late to the game. But if you want to be in the know and in the this week's part of things, you got to be in before Tuesday. So, you know, I actually got a text from somebody who I'm pretty sure is here on a pretty regular basis. So again, you know, if you're in the front row and you feel like texting a question, go ahead or emailing a question, 407-965-1607, podcast@wholelife.church. And it's always, Ken has it right. It's bonus points for voicemails.
Oh, big time.
Always bonus points for voicemails, because we'd love to hear the sound of your voice. That way we know you're not a bot on the internet just giving us kudos, because I mean, while we appreciate
the bots love giving us kudos.
the bots.
And we're happy for that, but we really like the non-bots.
The Whole Life bot army that follows us around online.
You've been the target of many a bot campaign to glaze us. So we
prefer
of that.
Yeah, we prefer our glaze on donuts.
Yeah.
Or Kringle. Oh.
I hear that's on the way.
Yeah, the Kringle's on the way. And I didn't realize their ordering process until, well, it doesn't matter. It's a little place in Suamico, Wisconsin. They have a couple different locations, but we're ordering Kringle here for the team. I decided they must know what it is to have a really good world-class award-winning Kringle. So we're getting some Kringle, and I ordered it on yesterday, and that was 2-day shipping. And you can go on their website. I think it's UncleMike'sBakeShop.com, I think. Anyway.
Well, they had to harvest the Kringles first.
They had to go and get the Kringles first. And so they were like 2-day shipping. So I'm like, well, if I order on Tuesday, then we'll get it on Wednesday.
Sure.
But the 2-day shipping is no, we process on Tuesday. We ship on Wednesday. You get on Thursday. But you can't order any other day of the week. So Thursday it is. I was hoping it was going to be
here. That's how good this is. It's
right?
So good that they're like, this is the way we do it, and this is the way we do it, so that you can get it.
Tough luck.
In a way that makes sense to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we do something called major event planning on Wednesdays every so often here and on staff. So I was hoping that everyone would be here. So you're going to have to come back on Thursday.
I don't feel bad about that. I feel like
it's more Kringle for us.
If people don't show up on the office on Thursday, that's lesson learned.
Yeah. Because I thought, whoa. And then I said, oh man, they have 1-day shipping. So I was like, $38.80 for a Kringle.
Ouch.
Which, you know, it's worth every penny.
Okay.
You know, some y'all are going to be ordering Kringle.
Wait, just for shipping?
That's for the Kringle.
Oh, gotcha.
And 2-day shipping is free. So they've got that baked into
the $38.50.
I heard that.
Yeah,
nice.
Albert would be proud.
He would. And so they have that. And so I was like, oh, what's 1-day shipping? And it's an additional $52.95.
Oh, mercy.
And I was like, I'm like, that's almost 2 Kringle.
You can't do that.
No, can't do that. So Thursday it is.
Nothing.
So I will try to post some pictures, because I know I put some in there before, and I had some people not respond in the Slack channel, but text me, and it's like, that looks like sin on a plate. I'm like, yeah, probably. You know, that's probably gluttony for sure.
Well, not if you don't eat the whole thing.
Even if you only have it. Well,
not if you're gluten intolerant.
It's pretty heavenly. I would roll the dice. All I'm saying is
I can throw the first stone here.
Well,
you know, it might be where, you know.
You won't have the strength to throw it, but it's okay.
When you break out in a rash, it's okay. Just you'd be like, it was worth it. I really believe that. So anyway. All right. So this week we were talking about, this was message three. This is from January 17th here at the church. And this is, we're part of our greater things. It's our theme for the year. And we're working through systematically what does greater things mean. We talked about week two was
our mission.
Right. The mission. And this week we're up to values. We did have, before we get to that email, I had so many people stop me this week. And so that's a golf clap. That is just a generous, you know, not low level, but the meaning and the feeling behind it is genuine. That everyone was like, man, you really upgraded when you let the rest of the crew do the voiceover work in the beginning. And I was like, yes, it did. It greatly improved. I was super tired when I did it myself, and the music was wrong. It just nothing worked well for me that week, and I was up really late doing it and then letting you guys all take over the pieces. So kudos to you guys and Lucas, who's not here with us today.
I'd like to mention that I did mine in one take. I'd just like to just put that out there.
And I didn't take the what was the take? The last take that Melanie did. I should have used it.
That, you guys, that was a little too friendly take.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
I gave options, Ken. That's what I did. I gave options.
Well, I guess that's technically true.
And everyone said that.
There's the good option and the bad option. And then the funny option.
Wow. But everyone agreed that Lucas was the proper voice for This Is Whole Life.
Definitely.
For that part. Oh, so we did have to slow him down in post a little bit because he talks a little bit fast. So we had to, This Is Whole Life. And it sounded perfect.
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm.
Power of post-production. But anyway, so kudos to you guys because that was a big thing. And I know that Melanie's not a big fan of the new theme song, but...
It's grown on me a little.
Yeah, 8 or 9 people were all... Lillian, I met with her for coffee this past week talking about some podcasting ideas. And she was like, I really like the new theme music. And I like
you've been out whipping up votes for yourself, haven't you?
I have.
I think you've been out there been like campaigning.
I think maybe Ken, you and I need to go on a campaign and see what we can discover. Yeah.
We have 17 people who disagree with your 4.
That's right.
I have 47 signatures.
If there's a survey during first and second service this next week as well, guys, you'll know what it's
going to
be.
Maybe we ought to have a weekly survey.
That would be awesome. All right. So, and then.
Who gets voted off the island this week?
It's probably me because last week. You guys are just amazing because every time I make a mistake in editing or if it's late or something doesn't come out right, I've got 4 or 5 text messages
waiting for you
before 7 a.m. when I wake up saying, hey, there's dead air space. And I thought it was my car radio. I thought it was this. I thought it was that. I wasn't sure. And so what we don't usually tell you, maybe we need to do some more behind the scenes, but typically we just hit record at the beginning. We turn it off at the end and then I just, you know, do a little light editing here or there where we get sidetracked or, you know, you say 45 times.
The voiceover was one take. A couple of the questions were more than one take.
Well, and we thought, and Ken had a meeting, so Ken had to leave. So we were beginning to kind of wrap the show, take a different direction. And then the door opened and Ken walked back in. So we re-recorded a few parts. And the part that we recorded that needed the space in between just had a couple of, you know, 19 or 18 seconds on one, and the other one was about 30 seconds, a little bit
Of a pause. We're just putting time in for you to meditate and process the things that are being said because we know you need that time.
That
was intentional.
I like that. So, but thank you for the heads up. Brittany, who is a faithful listener, longtime listener, started off by just letting me know that she thought it was maybe her car radio, but I did go back and fix it, put those two pieces back together. So now anyone that downloads it in the future won't be wondering what's going on.
Thanks to Brittany.
She said, by the way, I'm loving the updates to the podcast so far this year, and I'm looking forward to the video add-on as well. So we have a cool new plan for that Lucas and I are working on. We should be able to, I'm hoping in the next maybe 3 weeks, we should have everything set and ready. And then we'll have that Friday night special. And Joe,
he's doing makeup for us.
We do have makeup. And so that we'll be doing our own. We got to get a mirror because we don't have
one. It's our makeup sponsor. When I was in television, it was Mac. What are we using here?
Whatever Lucas had sitting around in a bag from the last shoot he was on.
Not okay.
Oh, this is going to be fantastic.
I don't need to get skin infections.
No, no, no. You use your own you use your own pad and then
get
you throw
leprosy.
It out.
Well, since I have my whole toiletry kit in my office, I guess I can probably supply my own.
Well, I mean, I guess, I mean, you know, if someone has a makeup artist out there that would like to come and, you know.
Yeah, every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday and spray us down with a little, the airbrush. That was always the, goes on.
Isn't there just a filter? Isn't there some filter on your fancy equipment that can just fix all of that?
I'll check. I'll check.
That's a good idea.
That might be. Yeah.
Just what, we all have a soft glow.
Yeah, that'll look super. Can we get the one that takes off 20 pounds as well?
I'm in favor of that
I'd
one.
I'd pay a little extra for that one, probably.
Wow, that is an incredible looking team.
Yeah, look at those guys.
No AI at all.
No. If there's some AI filters, we may have to look into that.
Which one is the real one? The one that's up front on Saturdays or
the one that's in that room?
The one that's in podcast. Wow.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure, you know, and then and YouTube, you know, if we record in 4K, all the blemishes are out.
Oh, my.
That'll be scary. So, all right. And we did have an email from last week. And I gave it to Melanie because, well, who doesn't want to listen to Melanie read an email? So I think that needs to be a new part of the show. You know, Lucas does questions. Melanie does email. So
Melanie reads an email.
Now it's time for Melanie reads an email.
All right. Well, this one is from Jack. Jack says, preaching, teaching, and practicing the message of Jesus is not propaganda, proselytizing, speaking from a public forum, knocking on doors. It begins by fostering the message of Jesus, first and foremost by the example of those who inspire us, especially the family and those with whom we associate. In the example of John Wesley, his father was a preacher for many years, and John was inspired by the Holy Spirit to approach the message of Jesus differently. It is incumbent of the individual to receive the essence of the message as enlightened by the Spirit. Inherent in the individual is the need for survival, also the ability to discern good and evil. Choice, however, leads sometimes to self-righteousness, or better yet, common sense, since we live in a complex world. The Bible tells us that there is a time and a place for everything. To discern one's attributes is a gift of the Holy Spirit that can come only by the influence of a spiritual nature that lives by righteousness. A suggestion is to inspire those around us and near to us by our actions, words of wisdom, and the menial tasks that surround us. Also, the people we meet, to inspire them through the Holy Spirit, not so much by pretentious deeds of charity as by good faith in the Spirit. The influencers of today are sowing seeds of dissension and worldly ideals, causing unfavorable outcomes, such as missing the opportunities to receive the Spirit and message of Jesus. The message is the buried treasure that one must give up, selfish reliance, and live in the world with all its necessities, incumbencies, and pleasures, and along with our brothers and sisters share with love and kindness. Yet, understanding some can be led astray by selfish intentions, the Spirit in our soul knows a pure intention. The inventions of mankind are all part of God's gracious bounty and intended to benefit mankind. Peace through strength confuses our inspiring thoughts. The necessity of law and order reminds us we live in an imperfect world. Jesus told us he would send the Spirit that will enable us to discern the narrow path in life's journey. A fruitful beginning relies in the Spirit among us. Listening to your services is truly of the Spirit. Jack.
Wow. Thanks, Jack.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate it.
Every time Jack writes in, there's more than one nugget you're going to find in one of Jack's emails. So thank you, Jack. You had me at common sense. I'll just say that. I was like,
and I will just say, Melanie, well read.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'll have to ask Jack if I did it justice.
You'll have to learn. Yeah.
Well, that's your new
segment. I feel like you did.
So. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So that brings us to values. And what do we got? What do we have left? If we'd already did
growth
our
pathway,
vision. And vision. And the vision.
Yep.
What about growth marks? Isn't that the?
That's part of growth.
Are we putting those
together?
That'll
be part of the growth pathway.
Oh, okay. Because I was just putting that. If you go to, I put it down in the notes today. If you guys want to know, like maybe you, I guess you could skip ahead a little bit and look ahead. It's wholelife.church/mission and vision. And if you look at that, there's all this, it's all kind of broken down there. And Ken and I talked about adding another little piece to it today. Yeah. So we're going to, that'll be, by the time you see that, that'll be up in
the website.
It should be. Wow. That's pretty easy, I think.
Oh.
Well, I shouldn't talk for Lucas because that's going to be his.
It's going to be easy, Lucas. You've got this.
You've got it. I trust. So
look
I think,
forward to that being up in the next 3 hours.
That's right. Like let's.
Because it's easy, Lucas.
Yeah, I mean he's already got the work done. It's just updating a website. I mean, how hard could that be? Yeah, he did all the hard work. Usually that's my job. He does the creative stuff, and then I do the how do I put this on the website kind of thing. But that'll be fine, I'm sure. So I did take Ken's challenge, and I did go and download the transcript from the MLK.
Yeah, like it.
Rediscovering Lost Values. Man, speaking at the time that he did, and you know the technological things that he talked about.
Just in case anybody's wondering, we're talking about Martin Luther King Jr.
Yep. And because it was his celebration over the weekend, and of course Monday, holiday, and
this was a sermon he gave in 1972, I think
54.
My bad.
70 years.
Yeah, a little.
Yeah, 72 years.
A mere 20 years, I think, anyway. Yeah. Whatever. But yeah.
But listening to it, you can find it, like you said, on YouTube. It's a pretty easy search, and I'll put the link in the show notes and in the Slack. So if you want to look at it, you'll have it. And then I also downloaded the. I'll see if I can make that a PDF so I can upload it there as well if you want to actually just read the transcript.
It's really good.
But there was so much good stuff in that sermon. Mm-hmm. And I was just reading someone who was not a fan of MLK and had a lot of really unflattering things to say about him as a Christian and that he was kind of this person felt like they were kind of a phony and like he wasn't a real, like he didn't really love God. He was kind of a puppet for a movement and he had all these things to say. And I was like, wow, that just doesn't seem like the person I've read about that I've listened to sermons and speeches that he's done before. And reading this, I was just like, man, this was so far ahead of in thinking and just realizing what, even for the time that it was, just realizing how dependent we are on God and the values that God puts into everything. And I was like, man, that just kind of, it felt good to be like, that's the guy I thought I was reading about and knew a little bit about anyway. I'm not an expert, but.
Martin Luther King Jr. was an incredible figure in history. And I think anybody who tries to diminish his contribution is being vastly unfair. He was a complicated person like everybody is. There's a lot of Bible characters that are complicated people that serve the Lord and do things imperfectly at times. I think MLK would have been the first to tell you that he wasn't a perfect human being. But I think that one of the things that we should really recognize is that the fruit of what Martin Luther King Jr. was accomplishing, he was bearing the fruit of peace. And I think sometimes his detractors like, oh no, he whipped people up into against authority. Well, but what was the authority doing? The authority was trampling on the rights of God-made human beings. And there is I think it's important for us to step up and say, hey, no, this isn't okay. And what I've very much in the way that I view the world, what I appreciate about Martin Luther King Jr. was his nonviolent approach to this. He was like, we're not going to say it's okay for these things to happen, but we're also not going to be violent about how we go about protesting this. And I think that just an incredibly gifted man, and I don't know how you get away from the fact that this man literally gave his life for what he believed in. And he was very well aware that he was the target of hate. And there were a lot of people who suffered severe violence, gave their lives so that people could have the same opportunities as other people in the United States so that persons of color would have the same opportunities that white people would have in the United States. And I think that every year around this time, you hear some people coming out to try to diminish this person. And I think, stop.
Yeah.
Just stop. This, you look at what he accomplished, you look at what he stood for. And a lot of these things you hear thrown his way are coming from people who did not want to see the status quo change.
Yeah.
They didn't want to see equality. They liked it the way it was. And so, again, I wouldn't sit here and say that MLK had no flaws and didn't do anything wrong in his life. Those are documented, as are every person. But the fruit, to me, it's in the fruit. What was he producing? And he produced a country that was more free, that gave more rights to more people. And I think that's quite the legacy to be proud of.
Well, and he did it under a lot of duress. I mean, it wasn't like it was a death threat here or there.
Yeah.
And, you know, his family and his supporters, I mean, everyone, the amount of, and I mean, can you imagine it if it was today where we have social media, what the frenzy would have been, even just letters that they used to receive that were bags of mail that was, you know, he used to get. And it's like, to do all that, knowing that there's enough people to make that much volume that really would love to see you probably dead or at least injured or enough to stop doing what you're doing. And then to still go on and then be peaceful in the other side, that's pretty amazing.
Very brave man.
Absolutely.
And you just, when you read this sermon, when you read other sermons that he wrote, when you read the just some of the brilliant things that came from his pen, the man was incredibly intelligent, very articulate, persuasive, and thoughtful. And yeah. So if you haven't read it for yourself. Listen to the sermon. It's a really good sermon.
Yeah. I was impressed. So bowling, I was like, all right, Ken is pulling out something I know a little bit about in bowling.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, Wisconsin has more bowling alleys per capita than anywhere else in the world.
Wow. Is that true?
I should preface that with, I haven't checked recently, but there was a time not that long ago that was second place wasn't close.
So did you grow up bowling a lot?
Growing up, that was, all right, I'll confess. When we were teenagers, that was the guys, and that was the excuse. If you were going to the movie theater where your angel didn't come in with you,
right,
and you were not allowed to go, and if, you know, one found out it was a chain reaction and even in the largest church in the state, you know, there's not
Do
that
angels
many
angels going to bowling alleys?
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't.
Well,
I
we didn't find out, and this is a true story.
You didn't find out till later that wasn't the case?
We didn't, because what happened was we went to, I can't even tell you what movie it was. But anyway, we were all agreed that we were going to the bowling alley because there was a bowling alley in town where the lanes were warped. There was only 10 of them. And the place should have been probably torn down.
So it's
down.
Quantity, not quality.
It was a bar. And it had a bar attached to it, right? So I don't know why that would have been okay. But okay, bowling, that's safe. So everyone agreed that we were bowling.
Air quotes.
So for the
air quotes.
So for the parents. For the parents. Parents were like, movie theater, not okay.
Not
bowling
okay.
Bowling alley with bar attached. We can live with that.
We can live, but it is Wisconsin, okay. So you got to, you know, they got to figure that much. But someone, we didn't even make it through the group. We took up like a whole row, and someone didn't even make it through the previews before they started crying and were upset that they had lied to their parents. And so then there
I'm
was
guessing the, that wasn't you, Randy.
No, I didn't leave. I'm like, oh well.
Tour's right over there.
Yeah, pretty much. So then they came back and asked for a change for the. What a payphone to call home.
Uh-oh.
And they're like, you can't call home. We're all going to go down. So a big chunk of the group went down. And so then bowling became like, so then bowling was on the list, and somewhere, and I've never looked this up to to verify it, but we were told by a parent from our church that Sister White also said that bowling alleys were not a good place to be. And so then the bowling alleys for a greater portion of our group was also off limits. So we had to come up with something else if you wanted to go see a movie. But the other person was never invited back to go see movies because, like, well, if you can't make it through the through the previews, we can't.
Well, and the list of things that she can say instead, like, can't be tennis, can't be bicycle riding.
Well, you also
can't be playing chess.
You also like, what's here, left you gotta, over. But you got to think of things that can happen in winter.
We are going to go meditating.
No, but
either.
Here's the thing, though. Here's what I'm taking away from this. Shunning is not just a church activity, apparently, because you were shunning.
No, of course. Okay, no, all right, of course, we were shunning, and we probably shouldn't have, but you know, their parents came to pick them up, and the theater was dark. I'm like, they're not going to come in here. Their angels ain't coming in with them just because they're going to bust us. So they're not coming in. We'll be fine. So just everyone keep your mouth shut. Solidarity. That person, I don't know how they got here.
Should I ask what the movie was?
I want to say my recollection was that it was Top Gun. But I'm also going to say that I'm not I wouldn't put my – but we were at the Stadium Cinema, which is no longer there. It was right next to Lambeau Field, a couple blocks away. And – but yeah, that was
okay. So now this is an important question.
Yeah,
Lambeau Field, do angels go there?
Oh yeah. Mm. Yeah, actually, our school and our Pathfinder Club were two groups that had separate contracts to clean the stadium after home games.
Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah.
So hang on, your Pathfinder Club and
our church,
your church,
you had
a contract to clean
Lambeau Field after
home games.
Correct.
I feel like we need to put Tomas in touch with Kia Center.
We ought to think about that. So this is a pretty good like. Is that just because all the Sunday churches couldn't do it because it was Sunday and like the Adventists are the only ones that can clean on Sunday, or is that the?
It's pretty. You know, Green Bay at that time was very, very well. Probably still is. It's predominantly Catholic
right? Yeah.
But you know, they would do early Mass on Sundays during Packer games because either you do it that way or nobody would show up.
Right.
It's a religion all to itself. But what they did was in the concourse they would have garbage trucks that would ride through, and they would give which group is going to be sweepers. What groups are going to be scoopers and what groups are going to be haulers? So you start at the top and you broom everything down to the bottom, peanut shells, beer cups, any trash to the aisle, into the scooper, a shovel, and it goes into a 50-gallon or, you know, like the tough round garbage cans like you'd have. You throw them over your shoulder and you haul them out down the concourse and you dump them in the garbage truck and you work your way around the stadium.
Sounds like you've done all those jobs.
I have as a member of the church because you had to have, in order to keep your contract, if you said, I think you had to have a minimum of 25 or 30 people on your per team. And if you came up short, like contract was like, they were very much like, you have to be able to fill this. If you don't, we're going to give it to someone who can. And then all the money would go to the Pathfinder Club. And then the church went to, I think it was like the Worthy Student Fund or something. Yeah. So my dad and my brother and I were always on the team to go out and, you know, clean up after games. And
did you get to go watch the game, or was it you just came in after the game was over?
They would let you, like in fourth quarter, they would let you in a little early.
Yeah.
And if you could kind of sneak off to the side while everything was going on, because they were like just closing concessions. Yeah. And so then once everybody piled out, as soon as people were gone, it's like they would get you up to the top and like just start working it around.
Did you ever meet any players?
At that, unfortunately, no. That was like, I met all the players just through work things for any players I've ever met. But yeah, I never met anybody.
So they
didn't
come out and help you scoop up the trash?
No, huh? No. Oh, okay. It apparently wasn't in their contract. But so, Tomas, it might be, or Bernie, if you're listening, that could be, maybe there's like.
Check in at the Kia Center. The bowl, Orange Bowl.
I feel like we're not, I feel like Orlando,
Camping World Stadium.
They probably have people. They probably have a crew they've hired or a company or something, but
I wonder if,
but Lambeau still pays shovelers when it snows, they pay the community $10 an hour, $12 an hour, and they have shovels and they shovel everything into chutes. It goes out on the field. They scoop it up and then that's how they get the snow out of the stadium. So you can still go and shovel and be a part of that if you want that too, but very community minded. They know where their bread's buttered.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Cool. Learned something new today.
Something new. So bowling, but I'm like the lane. Well, that was a long way around for bowling, wasn't it? Anyway.
We never do that on this podcast. It's okay. Never. Just this once.
But the vision is to get a strike, and I'm like the bumpers. And I'm like, the older I get, the more I like the bumpers. I'm like, can't we just always play with bumpers? Because when we go with M, she has to have the bumpers, and she has the little roller thing. I'm like, my wrist doesn't work like it used to anyway. Why don't I just use that? And I'm like, you know what? I have a lot more fun bowling when I do that and when I have the bumpers.
So just one more detour. What's the best game you ever bowled?
My high score for bowling is 243.
Wow. That is impressive.
It was luck. When I started, my brother's
I've
a big bowler.
I've never been that lucky.
My brother has bowled, they talked me into bowling a league for a couple of years, and I was horrible. And the first year I was so bad, they had one guy on the team coach me, get some gear and do some stuff and whatever. And I have a little, somewhere in my mom's attic, there's a little keychain about this big that says I think it's ABA. American Bowlers Association. I was the most improved player in the entire league because by the end of the year, my average was a 153, I want to say.
Okay.
So my brother is one of the guys, he does puts the whole spin on the ball, and he's come pretty close to the 300.
Ooh.
And I know a couple people that have bowled a perfect game, but they take it pretty seriously because in the wintertime, it's bowling league is like anything you can think of that like gets everybody together, and that's the big thing. So
okay,
that was the 243. Then and that was just out of my mind. I've never come close. If I'm in the 150s, I'm pretty happy. And that, I don't know, it just happened to be.
If I get into triple digits, I'm pretty happy.
Well, me too. To be honest, I can't. So
whatever you bowled a 243. You don't get to say that once though.
And I don't think I've ever bowled. To be honest, I don't think I've ever bowled another even close to 200. I think like a 180 a couple times. But it's not my thing. So not at all. But you go out and hang out with friends. That's kind of fun.
Here we are.
Anyway, so Enron, I when you said Enron, I had flashbacks, PTSD. Okay. I was a financial advisor when Enron was happening.
Working for Enron?
Not for Enron, but for retirement planning.
And that's why Ryan D is doing the podcast.
That's right. Oh, my gosh. And the thing that struck me about that is we're talking about values. You said theirs was integrity and respect were two of their values.
Yeah.
And the thing is, when I look at our values and you think about the things that can keep you from actually living out those values or really putting those values and taking them to heart and like, how can you change to be that person? How many people, I just can't even tell you how many people when this was like long before this even started, it was like, guys, anyone in the field, any professional, even non-professional should have seen like, wow, there's a problem here. You can't keep putting these kind of returns. The largest mutual fund in the world at that time was the Magellan Fund from Fidelity. I think it was Fidelity Magellan. And they owned 65% of their portfolio, I believe at one point was Enron stock.
Ouch.
And we kept telling people like, you need to diversify. You need to move over and move some stuff, whatever. And people were just like, No. This is like when the science and tech boom came. And when you said that, it was just like, a return on investment, something that makes us happy, something that gives us confidence or something that makes our life seem more secure. And I'm like, what are those things that move into our lives that would keep us from living out our values? Cause that to me was just the biggest red flag when you knew what was going to happen. And I felt like you could tell people and you could say, look, I wouldn't do this. This is not smart. Please help us help you. You've got all this good. You've made so much money. Just sell and move to a more, right? And I'm thinking to myself, how do we apply that to make sure that we're not putting our values at risk because of something that we hold dear or we have an idea that it's good for us or somehow it makes our life better. And I was just trying to think of what some of those might be as I think about, I want to be all in.
That would make us compromise our values, you mean?
Yeah, that would just make us, not even compromise, yes, but in a way that, because people just didn't see it. They're just like, no. I mean, look at the returns. These are 10-year returns. Like, and that's all we used to tell people. Oh, look for the long term. 10 years, 42%. You're like, well, yeah, but you know, that's not gonna, that can't last. It just can't. And I think what if we all, maybe it's things we've held on to for a long time. Maybe it's something now that we're like, oh, you know, this seems really good. And so it just made me think, if there was what might be in clouding my vision that would keep me from being inspired, inclusive, involved, intentional, or innovative as a member of a whole life, just as a church member, as a staff member, as just part of that community, what's out there that could trip us up from keeping our values?
I think a big one is talking about it, but not living it. And that's the I think that anybody can have a value statement. Anybody can say, these are my values, but it's another thing to live those values out, and particularly to live those values out when it hurts.
Yeah.
You know, using the example of Enron, like I said, one of their values was respect, but they were known for their brutal employee evaluations. I think that basically, I can't remember, but like the bottom percentage of personnel evaluations were cut every year. So if you were in the bottom, whatever it was, 10, 20, 30, 40%, your job was gone. And so what does that mean? Well, that it isn't giving you, you can say that, well, excellence is one of our values, but the problem is that if you're getting rid of the bottom 40%, people start lying because they want to keep their job. They start doing whatever they have to do to cut throat, and it's not a respectful environment anymore. And again, I'm not suggesting that companies don't have a good reason for getting rid of low-performing employees or things like that, but when it's just an arbitrary percentage point, it's not necessarily – if you've got people that are performing very well, but they just happen to be in the bottom percent, is that respect? And I would say it's not. And so one of the things I think you have to really think hard about when you start thinking about values and when you start thinking about being a part of an organization is you can be drawn to the mission statement, you can be drawn to the vision, you can be drawn to the values, but are they actually living those things out? Are they actually doing them, or are they just talking about them? Is it something that just looks nice on paper? And that's one of the things that for me is super important. I remember, I think the last time I preached a sermon on values, I talked about this particular illustration, so I didn't put it in this time. But for me, one of the moments that really defined values for me was when I was running Indian Creek Camp, and I was the summer camp director. Indian Creek Camp is outside of Nashville. It's on Center Hill Lake. Beautiful camp, wonderful place. Highly recommend if you ever get a chance to visit or go there, send your kids. It's a wonderful, wonderful camp. While I was there, we discussed the values that our staff had. And I didn't realize at the time, but they were actually my personal values of God, integrity, safety, hard work, and fun. You know, you have these values, and I would have the staff talk about them every day at our staff meeting, because we had a daily staff meeting. We'd repeat them, we'd talk about them. We would talk about what that means. Okay, it's one thing to say that God is a value. What does that mean? What does it mean that God is a value? How does that play into the decisions you're making in the day? What does it mean that integrity, what does that mean to you? So we talked about this a lot, but the time that it hit the most home for me was my last summer running the camp. A bunch of staff started getting sick. Well, actually, we had campers starting to get sick, then staff started getting sick. And talking to my camp nurse, she said, I wonder if this is norovirus. So we called the health department out. They came out, they took a look, they took samples, and they said, we haven't run the samples, but we're pretty confident this is a norovirus outbreak. If you're not familiar with it, it's usually not life-threatening. It will, but it can leave you dehydrated. And if you've ever, there are people who have broken ribs, they're vomiting so violently. So it's serious, but it's not generally considered to be life-threatening. And so I said to the health department, okay, so are you shutting us down? They said, nope, this is a due decision. You're going to have to decide whether you want to stay open or whether you want to close down. They said, you know, we would tell you that probably it would be best for you to shut down, because if you're not familiar with norovirus, it has about a 3 to 5 day incubation period. And it can live on surfaces for up to 90 days. So it's
90 days?
Something like that, I think.
That's crazy.
A long time. I'm talking about probably in a more the best of circumstances, but I think 3 to 5 days, at least 24 hours on surfaces outdoors. So wow. The point is it can last. And so they said, you know, we kind of think that if you don't close down, you're probably going to be having to deal with this for the rest of the summer, but you know, it's up to you. It was a hard decision to make because, you know, and what really helped me make that decision was having one of our staff say, well, what are our values? And how are we going to make this decision based off of our values? Well, first value is God. So I'm thinking, okay, well, if I close down the camp, there's going to be, you know, a bunch of campers that aren't going to get to come to camp for a week. They're not going to get to experience God. I want them to experience God. But if they get sick, are they really going to be experiencing God? Are they going to be experiencing something else? And then when it comes to integrity, if I'm going to leave the camp open, I owe it to send an email letter to everybody who's sending their kids saying, hey, we've had a norovirus outbreak. You need to know that. We're continuing to go on, but so come if you want, but we're going to keep on going. The tempting part would be to not send that email out, be like, well, we haven't confirmed it yet. We don't know for sure. We'll wait. We'll see what happens. And by the way, this was all going down on a Friday night. So we had our church service the next day, and then we're going to have our, this went down on a Friday morning anyway. And so then Sunday, the next group was going to be coming in. So what do we do? But then it came to God, integrity, safety. And I started thinking, well, what happens if a kid really gets dehydrated? What happens if what if it's not even dehydration, but what if I have so many staff sick that they're not actually able to take care of the kids in a way that keeps them safe? If I'm having to run the pool short-staffed, which is not acceptable, what do I do? What happens with the people working in the cafeteria if they're sick? Yeah. And I won't know because it's a 3 to 5 day incubation. They start shedding on day 2 or 3. So there's no symptoms and they're already putting that out there. And so really, honestly, probably one of the hardest decisions of my professional career was made easier because I knew based on my values what I had to do, which was shut down the camp for a week. And it was painful. It lost the camp $70,000 of income. I had kids coming up to me crying, well, I didn't get to go to camp this year because you shut down the camp. And it was painful. It was really, really a painful decision to make. And yet I know to this day that I have zero regrets on doing it. It was the right thing to do. And the thing that we are so blessed with is that we shut down for 1 week out of like 7 or 8 weeks of running the camp. We shut it down for 1 week and we had zero instances of norovirus after that. None. It was done. Because we shut down the camp on Friday. Parents came and got their kids. And then we scrubbed the camp down from like the gates all the way. I had people with bleach out on our pool toys, on our lake toys. I mean, everything got bleached. And then I sent the staff home for a week. And again, another hard decision. What do we do? Staff aren't working for that week, technically, but we contracted with them there. So we still paid them.
Yeah,
because that was part of integrity. We contract you. It's not your fault that the norovirus came through here.
Yeah.
And so this is one of those times where we really got to decide whether we wanted to live our values or we just want to talk about our values. And in life, you can have values, but they're not really values until you actually enforce them. And that's why I said I don't believe the values are the bumpers, because the values are the path. They're the lane. This is the way to get a strike. This is what you have to bowl on to get a strike. And as long as you stay within this area, you're going to be okay. Go off, you're in the gutter. But if you want to really be excellent, you and the people around you, like the staff member that said, Ken, what are our values and how's that playing? We all enforce them together. We all say, no, our value is this, and we are going to be the bumpers that make sure that the ball stays on the lane within our values and not doesn't let it go off track. Because as soon as it goes off track, we're not doing what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Even if somehow you magically got a strike, you didn't do it the right way. you broke the rules. You did things in a way that isn't legitimate. And so, so for me, I think it's so important for people to understand what their values are and then to enforce them and empower the people around them to say, hey, when I'm not doing it, please call me out on it.
Yeah.
Please say, hey, Ken, that's, you know, that isn't one of our, that's not intentional. Doing that is not being intentional. Hey, Ken, and you can do that in a very loving way. Is that, you know, oftentimes asking the question, well, is this an intentional way of going about doing that? There's a lot of nice ways to go about saying it, but we have to be the bumpers that keep us on the values that we all have agreed to. And I just want to say, Randy, one of the things that made my heart so happy, I have got a bunch of emails since Sabbath from people saying, I'm all in. I'm all in. Yeah. And they didn't just say I'm all in. They started saying, and I want to do this value. I had emails from people said, hey, I want to serve. It made my heart happy. We have family promise happening. And I got an email from our family promise coordinator, Sheila. Thank you, Sheila, for the amazing job you do. And she said, oh, this is so amazing. I think she had 5 or 6 families volunteer to help that came out and said, hey, we're all in. And if we're going to live our value of being involved and helping, and they came out and they're helping with that. And so just love it. I got like emails saying the same thing. I had another email from somebody who said, hey, this solidifies it for me. I want to be a part of the Whole Life family because I believe in these values and I want to be all in. I've been pondering whether I really want to do this and decided, yes, I do want to be all in. So thank you to all of you who are all in and who are saying, yeah, you know what? These values really, truly do matter and they will make the world a better place. Even if you don't bowl a strike, you didn't wind up in the gutter.
That's awesome.
But the kind of success you're talking about, oh, I got a strike because it hit the bumpers 4 times and it happened to spin off. That's not sustainable. That's just a lucky shot, and it may give you the false confidence, like, oh, well, the bumpers all the way, baby. There's no gutter balls, right? That's got to be better than no gutter balls. But like you said, we haven't been afraid to fail. Where certain things like, yep, this didn't work, that didn't work, but we're going to move on and do something different.
The goal is not to be testing the boundaries.
Well,
but that's for sure. The goal is not to be testing the boundaries. The goal is to get the ball down the lane.
Yeah,
and to hit the strike, which is your vision. But if that ball is going to go out, it's our responsibility to push it back on, so that it doesn't go where it's not supposed to go.
Well, I like the fact that you got that many emails saying that we're in for different reasons, because I think that, like the people for Family Promise, you have to be inspired if you want to be a part of that. You have to be involved to be a part of that, and you have to be intentional. So I love how the fact that all of these went together, and there was some discussion in the chat about how all this came together, and I happened to be in the chat like, hey, we're part of the group. This is what we went through. Like, and people were just like, thank you for taking the time on that team, and thank you, Whole Life, for having that team that stopped to do this, because just like the emails you got, there were so many people that wrote in, as part of being inclusive will attract people of all walks of life. May we never lose sight that we are to preach the gospel that transforms and changes people. I love that I can listen to the gospel every week and be a part of a community that loves unconditionally. Casey said, I just wanted to share how much I love this church and how inclusive it is. God is truly at work here. And there were just a ton. And I know they were talking about it actually in the table, which you can join the table at 10:45 every Saturday morning. There's a discussion.
It's an online small community.
Yeah. And they were talking kind of about the same thing. So part of that was all happening in the chat as well. And there were just instance after instance of people just saying, we're all in, we love these values, and they really resonated. So that was just another, felt like another win, where you just like people, as you unveil them and go, yeah, this makes a lot of sense, I'm following you. And oh, by the way, we want to be involved. And I did have, Rod, here's to you. I wish Ken would stop telling stories that bring sympathetic tears to my eyes. And that was kind of people are like, okay, yeah, I'm not crying. You're crying. And while Ken was reading off So just some correspondence that we've received with people that have been affected by these, and just to you know, to know if you're on the right track or not. These are so important. So do go check those out. If you want to learn more about that and Amplify 2036, just go to the website. It'll be in the link, wholelife.church/mission and vision. And so this week we are fancy values.
Growth pathway and growth marks.
And so that's what we're headed for. Oh, those are gonna be fun.
Yeah.
Those will be fun. Yep. So we're gonna hit that this week, and then we'll finish up and the week following.
The following week with our vision.
With the vision. And then what's up after that?
We have our Black History Sabbath.
Oh, that's right.
Got a great guest speaker that's going to be here. And then we have an amazing concert that evening. So that'll be fantastic.
Gail Murphy.
Yes, indeed.
Don't miss.
And then after that, we are getting into a series that we're calling The Greatest of These. Mm. And we're actually talking about different kinds of love. So it starts off on Valentine's Day. We'll talk about romantic love. Then we'll talk about brotherly love. Then we're going to talk about relational love. And then we'll close off with agape love, which is self-sacrificing love.
All the way through Valentine's. Man, we're really like out of the gate hot.
Well, fast. Yeah. Good. Black History Sabbath is February 7th. And then obviously Valentine's Day is February 14, which is when we start the Greatest of These series. And then we're heading to spring break at that point, I think.
That's true. So, yeah, we've got to be getting close. Well, for the Black History Month concert, I had the opportunity and the pleasure of hearing some songs that Gail performed for us while she was warming up and came over to the church last week, and we filmed a few promos. So you'll see those soon. You can go to the wholelife.church/events. Everything is there. And there is a place on there that you can share that with people directly right there. So all the information, the concert time, everything. Invite your friends and neighbors. I have a feeling we're going to be full.
And one of the cool things, Randy, that you guys just did last week is all the sermon series are up for the year. So if you want to see what's coming up, you can go look and you can see what the preaching schedule looks like pretty much through the end of the year.
Yep. And almost all the graphics are done. We've been working hard to, and this was something that you guys have asked for, was we want to know what's upcoming. Yep. We want to know, like, we will, and I think his name was Ken. I don't remember your last name, Ken, and I spoke to someone right after Ken, and they're like, we would plan our vacation around, like, we don't want to miss church anytime, but if we know there's something super important that's super important to us, we'll move something around so we can be here. So make sure that you check that out. It's all up at wholelife.church/events. And the Black History Month concert, I think that was the one that I really wanted to talk about. So
it's going to be fabulous. Just put it on your calendar.
It's a whole day.
Do not want to miss it. It's going to be amazing.
Bring lunch with you or go out and come back or whatever if you're that. And I do know that we will be streaming that, so you can watch for that. But there's nothing like, if you've never worshiped with Gail Murphy in person, let me just tell you that you're missing out if you haven't.
Yep.
And take that opportunity and come and hang out with 500 or so of your closest friends, because I have a feeling it's going to be a lot of people.
Good stuff.
All right, guys, that's going to do it for this week. Thanks for listening. Have a great week. Thanks for listening to This Is Whole Life. If today's conversation resonated with you, we invite you to subscribe, share, and leave a review on your favorite listening platform. To join the conversation, send a text or voicemail to 407-965-1607 or email podcast@wholelife.church. To learn more about Whole Life Church, worship with us online or in person, visit our website, wholelife.church. Until next time, this is Whole Life.